Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. But let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would just bless, use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, we do pray for our country tonight. We see the unrest that's being stirred up and agitated around the country. And we just pray that you'd work through your people to bring calm and peace to situations around the country, and that you might deliver us from the spiritual darkness that threatens to descend upon this nation. Bless and watch over us now. Use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that'll link to our church for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church and a number of other things. And you can also follow us online at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And if you go there, hopefully we'll have the feed from our YouTube channel streaming there on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. It'll be streaming there shortly, if it's not already. And we'll have it streaming on some other platforms as well here momentarily. But of course, I have to do all that while I'm talking and try to keep track of what I'm saying, as well as buttons that I'm pushing to get things streaming over here and streaming over there. But I hope it'll be a blessing for you tonight. I wanted to say before we get into things too much this evening, if you had the chance to hear last Friday, myself as well as Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood and Pastor Andrew Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, we have shows on Friday afternoon, Pastor Lutz at 1 o'clock, myself at 1:30, and Pastor Rusnacko at 2 o'clock. And this past Friday, May 29th, we combined our three programs and we did a special hour and a half program, and it is available online now. The program was a tribute to someone familiar to many of our listeners, Brother Bruce Musselman, pastor, church planner, evangelist, a Bible teacher, radio pastor, he's just impacted so many lives here in northeastern Ohio. He went to be with the Lord after a short illness on May the 15th, and Pastor Rusnacko, Pastor Lutz, myself, Gary Meeks, who has helped to keep all of us on the air at one time or another, we all came together and produced a program with the help from people here at Salem, and we had it out. And I thought it went pretty good. And if you would like to listen to that program, go to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you should be able to find it there. And you can listen to the program. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We'll be back with our regular Friday 1:30 to 2 o'clock program starting again up here this coming Friday. But we just did that just to remember Bruce Musselman and his ministry and so many things that he did to serve the Lord and touch so many lives in this area. Well, We're going to get into a few things here this evening. There's a lot going on in the world around us. And like we said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you call. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have our first caller tonight is Ruth. And Ruth, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello.
Hi, good evening.
It's the first time I've been on your program.
Well, we're glad to have you. I think I can hear the radio in the background. If you could turn that down a little bit, might help a bit.
He said to turn the radio down.
Yeah, that'll help you a little bit there. But I see you're from Georgia.
Yes.
Well, glad to have you.
Thank you. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Does one have to go before the person they have sinned against to complete one's repentance and forgiveness?
You know, that's a good question, because if you think about it, and the Bible talks a lot about forgiveness, you know, the Bible says we ought to forgive others. You know, after all, God has forgiven us.
It's hard sometimes.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But think about it this way. If you can, I think it's a good idea, but sometimes you cannot. And there's various reasons. For instance, I remember reading a book where this guy talked about somebody who was going through a lot of anger issues with, it was a relative who had died some years previously. And they were just having trouble forgiving this relative for things that they had done in the past. Well, obviously, they could not go to the relative in person, because that person had been gone for many years. And I think in that particular case, they actually went to the cemetery and they stood by the grave. Now, obviously, the person is not there, because we know that if somebody is truly born again, the body may be in the grave, but the soul and spirit are with the Lord in heaven. And also with the person who is unsaved, the body may be there, but the soul and spirit are not there either. We hate to think about it, but the soul and spirit would be in hell. But it was a focal point for that person by seeing, you know, the gravestone, and they were able to come to terms and forgive that person. Sometimes you don't even have that as an option. I believe that if you get with the Lord in prayer and God ministering through His Spirit in, you know, to your heart, can bring you to the point where you can say, you know, I can't go to that person. It's just not possible, but I can come to grips with this, and rather than become bitter, I can forgive this person, and I can allow the Holy Spirit to minister to my heart and draw me closer to God.
Well, if the individual is not dead, then it would be, you think that it's right to go to this person and mandatory to be able to complete that forgiveness and repentance.
I don't know that it always is going to be mandatory. I think in many cases it is wise. I remember somebody one time, this is many years ago, probably over 10 years ago, somebody told me that they were worried about this individual and they'd had disagreements with them. And finally they called him up and they wanted to tell him that they forgave them and they wanted them to forgive him. And he got the person on the phone finally, and the person said, excuse me, who are you? They didn't even remember him, but that happens sometimes. But he had made the step. You see, and between him and God, he got it off his chest, and it took a load off from him. And sometimes that's what happens. You know, they're trying to think of various scenarios. There could conceivably be a scenario where it's not safe to go to some person. And that's why I said it may not be mandatory, but oftentimes it is a good idea, because it enables you to unburden yourself, get those harsh feelings or unforgiving feelings out, and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you and possibly to the other person. But if the other person really doesn't care to hear you, that's not your responsibility. If the Lord is impressing upon you that you need to give forgiveness to somebody, or on the flip side, ask for forgiveness from somebody, if that's what God through His Spirit is impressing upon a believer, I believe that you should do that, if at all possible. But if it's not possible, God can still minister to you and take that burden away, because oftentimes that unforgiving spirit turns into bitterness. And bitterness, you know, it's like poison ivy or poison oak. Once it gets established, it irritates everybody around you, and you can't get rid of it.
Do you think it would be good to take this before a congregation?
I would not go to that step first. In fact, let me take a look over here. In Matthew chapter 18, I think. Let me take a quick look and see if that's what I'm thinking of. There is a format that God gives us here. And, yeah, here it is. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Meaning, you just keep forgiving him. If he comes to you sincerely and repentant and asks for forgiveness, you need to forgive him. And he goes on talking about the kingdom of heaven, but let me just for time's sake move down here a little bit further. There's the passage that I was looking for. That was one that I was looking for. But there's a passage where he talks about within, you know, the body of believers, where we receive a complaint and we try to make it right with that individual. You don't necessarily take it to everybody all at once. And the Bible says if they won't hear you, then you take it to the elders of the church. And I'm just, trying to talk on the radio and look something up at the same time. And I'm hoping I can find that verse here before I move on here. And unfortunately, I'm just drawing a blank here right now. I apologize for that. It's kind
well,
of but
the public declaration. What if it is being kept from giving to the public before the church by the brother who has sinned, maybe for some kind of sin there that needed to be told to the church and forgiven of, and the preacher does not allow that. Had the preacher sin on this?
That can happen. And I did find the verse finally. I knew it was in Matthew 18. I just was not seeing it here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. I think this covers what you're asking here. Let's drop a little further down here in Matthew chapter 18. I just was glossing over it and not seeing what was right here in front of me. Here it is in verse 15, and hopefully this will help you out and see if this covers what you're talking about. He says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So in other words, you try to resolve it at the lowest level. See what he's saying? If you can resolve it there, that's great. You don't have to take it any further. But then some people won't, and you can't resolve it there. And he says, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." And so in other words, you have a problem, you're trying to get it resolved, you're trying to seek forgiveness or let the person know that they've done something, and however the case may be, he won't listen to you.
Or yourself, if they won't listen to you.
Yeah, so then you go, you would go to a couple of trusted mature Christians in your church, I think, would be the best bet. And especially if it's somebody in church leadership, because you want them to have...
Like the elders.
Yeah,
like
so
elders.
You want to have two or three, he says, take with you one or two more so you don't go alone the next time you talk to them.
Right.
There's been a couple occasions in my ministry where I've actually done this. I had somebody that was not listening, and I'm trying to deal with them. And I had somebody, we're a small church, I had one person from the church that I thought I could trust with it, and we went to the person directly. They still wouldn't hear us. And so that's the next thing that happens. You have two or three people now who can attest to it, yourself plus one or two others. So it's not just your word against theirs. And then the next step is in Matthew 18, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. So this is now where you bring in the church. Now, whenever possible, I think you should go through the pastor and the deacons, you know, the elders in the church first. But sometimes it's difficult to do that. But the plain thing is, you start with the individual. If they won't listen to you, that's verse 15. If they won't listen to you, you go with one or two others, so it's not your word against theirs. And you have witnesses now. And if it still is not resolved, then you bring it up to the church. And that's verse 17 there. And hopefully, you know, before it reaches that point, you'll be able to resolve things.
Well, what if a man just does not stop or does not repent of the way that he is?
Well, we had a great example.
That might even be a preacher.
Yeah, well, and the Bible does talk about that, not receiving an accusation against an elder, lightly, without witnesses. But that's not saying that pastors and deacons are perfect, because, as a pastor, I can attest. I talk to pastors. I talk to people all the time. Pastors are the same as church members. We're just in a different position. We might have some different spiritual gifts and some different spiritual responsibilities, but pastors are human too. Pastors mess up, and so we do need to be careful when it comes to terms of pastors. One thing, if you can't go, for instance, to the deacons in the church and discuss it, there are occasions where people will go to a sister church, perhaps. Like, I'm an independent Baptist, so independent Baptists, we have other independent Baptists of like faith and practice that if I had a discussion or a problem, I could go to somebody like that, or somebody in my church, if they couldn't get satisfaction, could go to one and ask them for advice, and maybe that pastor would talk to me. Southern Baptist, very similar to the Independent Baptist, same sort of thing. And no doubt in other denominations, you have other mechanisms where you could go to another church, another pastor, not trying to spread rumors or gossip, obviously, but trying to resolve a situation. Because if there's a bad pastor, right, and he's not doing things that are right, he's harming the cause of Christ, isn't he?
That's true. This congregation that we are talking about is very small. They have no elders.
Right.
And no deacons, and no, so they only have a preacher. So what do you do in a case like that when, if the preacher then stops the individual from going forward and trying to, correct his mistake?
Well,
what do you do in a case like that?
And like I said, that can be very touchy. I know some people that when they've reached a situation like that, they have just opted to say, well, I'm going to move to a different church because I cannot resolve this. I cannot worship here in good conscience. I'm not going to make a fuss. I'm not going to make a problem. And they just leave. I also know some people who have gone to, another pastor, where they've sought advice. They've said, this is the situation at our church. I'm not trying to be a gossip, but I'm really concerned. I don't want our church to be overtaken and have problems because of what I perceive to be an error. I've actually had somebody call me and say, can you talk to my pastor? I've actually had that happen to me before. Makes you feel kind of awkward, but, sometimes a pastor will listen to another pastor.
That's true. That's true. We're all human beings.
Exactly. You're right.
We've got to follow that word. You're right. So that's just 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Yeah, and sometimes if a preacher takes, you know, like for instance, something has happened that the law or something was brought in, and he takes the law into his own hands and wants to do certain things, and which would cause the one who had sinned even more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you think that's not the preacher's position that he should take?
Now, without getting into the details, when you say takes the law into their own hands, are you talking about an actual legal matter, or are you just talking about principle in the church?
That would be, well, something that would have been legal had it been, pushed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't pushed, and yet the preacher seemed to want to push it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and sometimes, sometimes if things cannot be resolved, ultimately, there's the expression of voting with your feet. That's not always the best answer. That's not always an option either. And like I said, so many things are on an individual basis, the situation, the church involved, the community. For instance, if you had somebody who was stealing money, let's say you had somebody in the church who was stealing money, from the offering, you know, they were supposed to put the offering in the bank and they were stealing it and they were putting it in their pocket instead. And the pastor was refusing to do anything about it. Okay.
Oh, now, well, that's a little different.
Yeah. But I'm just using that as a for instance,
yeah.
You know, so they would be doing something that's illegal. And now the pastor
right,
is covering
other,
it up.
If the man or individual has wanted to come forward and say, you know, I want to talk to the church about mm-hmm. problems, and I want to and actually the preacher said that he would probably have him arrested if he came, and I don't think he has the right to do that, because the man was sincere.
Yeah.
Really wanting to talk to.
Yeah, and again.
And ask their forgiveness.
Yeah. Not knowing the whole situation, there are some cases that somebody may feel, you know, that they want to express to the church something that they've done that it's wrong. But if it's of a serious nature, it may be that, yes, they confess it to the church, they unburden themselves, but there are legal consequences to that.
There might have been, but there wasn't any that were at the moment.
Yeah.
To say something and talk.
Yeah. But, it really is hard when you're in a small church and you don't have deacons you only have one pastor. Sometimes, you know, if nothing else, if there's a couple of mature Christians in the church where you can seek an audience with the pastor and express those things, and if he's still unmoved by the sentiments of these, you know, senior members in the church, that does become problematic. I would suggest then looking to another pastor to try and intervene and talk with him, because if the pastor is doing something that's wrong in terms of his attitude, maybe one of his peers can reach him. And then the whole purpose would be, of course, to resolve issues so that the church, the pastor, and everybody involved can go on to serve God and bring glory to Christ.
That's right.
Then ultimately, if none of that works, you may have to consider, you know, is this where God wants me to be? In some cases, you know, either the individuals leave the church or the pastor, you know, is moved on. And again, it's hard to, you know, to say definitely what you should or shouldn't do, not knowing the particulars of the situation and in a short period of time, because I know we just got a few minutes left, but hopefully there's some guidelines there. And in whatever you do, bathe it in prayer and get somebody to pray with you in regards to this issue, because prayer changes things. And God can move on a pastor's heart. God can move on anybody's heart if they're sincerely wanting to serve Christ.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, well, thank you for your thoughts.
Well, thank you. And that is a difficult thing. I don't envy you in the situation. And I know people that are listening. I'll trust that people will pray for you and for the situation. God knows what the situation is, and God, through His Spirit, I'm confident, can guide you and those that are involved, and the pastor and the other people in the church, to hopefully bring about the best situation that can lift up and glorify Christ and frustrate the designs of the devil to hurt your church and your church's witness.
That's true. That is very true. And God bless you.
Well, thank you, Ruth. I appreciate you calling. And God bless you. And like I said, stay there in the battle. Stand for the Lord. And pray that God will direct you what's the right path to take.
Thank you. That's what we're trying to do.
All right. Well, hopefully I helped out a little bit tonight. I want to thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be taking a break here in just a few moments, and we'll get to some more callers on the other side of the break. But, you know, those are always a challenging sort of a situation, you know, to weigh in. And when I get a question like that, I sometimes think of these, you know, these people who do call-in advice programs, and you're always thinking, how do they come up with reasonable advice? And you want to give people somebody advice that's going to help and not hurt. And that's exceptionally challenging when you're thinking about a situation that involves a church, and involves a pastor, and involves a congregation. So if you're of a mind to pray for Ruth and the situation, pray for them. God knows what the situation is. Pray that God will direct her, that God will direct her church, that God will direct her pastor, and that Christ will be glorified in the end result. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half an hour to go. We have a short commercial break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-3000. 6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And well, we're going to get to our callers here. And I just had somebody send me this. They said that some of the rioting going on in Washington, D.C., there are some, St. John's Church and is currently on fire. And this is the church, this is the one I believe that's right across from the White House, across from Lafayette Park. This is the one, if I remember correctly, that presidents oftentimes will go to. And it's a historic church. And like I said, this is just something I think that's just coming out, and I just heard about it during the break, and I was trying to track down a couple more things, but I do pray for our country, pray for the things that are happening. Obviously, it is apparent that things are being set in motion. There are plans afoot, and we've had various guests on our program from time to time talking about it, and most recently, I think of Gary Kaa, who wrote the book En Route to Global Occupation, who is with us on a Friday afternoon program on May 15th. In fact, you can listen to this if you go to our site at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And Gary Kaa has been researching the things with the attempts to bring together a global government. He had talked about the global currency, which the UN just last week put out the idea that they want to institute this, and it would be based on the economies of the various participating nations. This is something that was floated. Also, the digital currency is a part of it. Was floated in the stimulus plan, or the the recovery plan, whatever you want to call it, stimulus, whatever first plan. And thankfully, the Democrats tried to put in, but it was taken out. And they're still pushing this. And he also talked about the 12 to 18 month plan that was instituted last January, and there were a number of things preempted by the coronavirus. I still think it got out early. It was probably supposed to, these things start happening this summer, after the UN and the Vatican and a number of groups were going to promote global government, global currency, with a variety of events that were scheduled in the Vatican, in Europe, in different places this spring and early summer. Many of those, of course, the Pope's thing in March on global currency was postponed to October. The Pope's thing on May 14th, educational initiative to educate the world as to why we need a global government and all the umbrella, the religions to come under one umbrella, that was postponed, I think, to October as well. I think those things were supposed to take place, get people ready, then roll out the pandemic and all these other things. But whatever the case is, we as believers, we should look up, because the Bible says our redemption draweth nigh. Well, we've got Tom who's waiting patiently. And Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just going to call you about, was I didn't know what was going on, what you were saying about the church in Washington.
Yeah, I just heard about this over the break.
Well, I was just talking. We were just come back from Columbus. I was down visiting my son and daughter-in-law and the grandkids, and we were down for the weekend. First time we've been down since the virus hit, so we were going to go down earlier. But I was talking to my son at length, and I, you know what? I, I, I kind of floated a crazy idea to him, and we were talking about that because Columbus was, they had a lot of rioting going on down in Columbus while we were down there.
And, you know, it just sprung up rapidly all over the nation, didn't it?
Well, Trump came out this afternoon and said that, you know, he's set the Justice Department. They're gonna treat Antifa as a terrorist organization,
and not just treat it, but declare it, label it a terrorist organization, which opens up.
I had an interesting idea that's been floating in my brain here, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but you know, what's the possibility of, you know, this country getting so out of control that President Trump declares martial law?
Well, we are under a state of national emergency, which does give him some powers. I'll guarantee this, if we were to reach that point, I'm certainly glad it's a President Trump that would be declaring martial law and not a President Hillary.
That's exactly right. But I'll tell you, it's just like, I just feel that, I'm in my late 60s now, Pastor, so I got to tell you that I've been following Bible prophecy since I was 19 years old, and I'll tell you, I never felt we were that the convergence is so great as it is now with everything falling apart.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking at our church and talking with different people and following what's going on, and we've known since at least the end of April that the coronavirus is not as severe as what we initially feared it to be. The latest CDC statements show that it doesn't last long on hard surfaces, and only people who should be wearing masks are people who are ill or people who are treating somebody who's ill, working with somebody who's ill, and wearing masks actually is worse.
I think this Pope is I hate to say it, but, you know, because I was a Catholic for a lot of years, but this Pope is bad news.
Well, you know, people will say, well, is the Pope the Antichrist? Well, I'll give you another possibility. What about the false prophet in the book of Revelation? There's the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Well, we
can make a case either way.
We know the Bible teaches that Satan has always wanted to be as God. So,
and that's what the Antichrist is, not just so much against him, but in place of him, a replacement Christ.
Right, so he's going to try to mimic the Trinity in the end times with the Antichrist and the false prophet.
And Satan himself.
And Satan himself. So it's like, we're there. We're at the doorstep. Why don't we say a real quick prayer for our president and our nation? Because I think that is, you know, like you said, Pastor, prayer changes a lot of things. And that's what wins God's heart, is when we go to him in prayer. Why don't we say a real quick prayer about that? It's really burdened on my heart.
Absolutely. Do you want to pray there, Tom?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord. And we look at the dire situation our country is in, and the terrible circumstances, Lord. And we know that the only answer is Jesus Christ. The world does not know that. And the majority of the country, even Christians, a lot of them seem perplexed, Lord, because they're not in the Word. There's a lot of lukewarm believers out there. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for a mighty movement of your Holy Spirit to convict and bring your children, your true children, back home, Lord, and save as many as possible. But, Lord, we just put a hedge of protection around our dear president. And for our beloved nation, Lord, we just lift this country up, remembering the blessings, Lord, that you founded this country, that you have declared liberty. You are the founder of liberty and all freedom, Lord. So we just give you praise, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, we fall down before you, Lord, and we just give you glory. And, Lord, we just intercede through Jesus Christ and his blood, the Lord, to have mercy on us. And remember those who love you in this nation, Lord, and keep this nation together, Lord. So, you know, for your great purpose, but all things be according to your will. In Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you humbly, and we thank you, gracious God.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that prayer, Tom. And, you know, the Bible says that we do need to pray one for another.
Oh, absolutely.
And
listen, Christians, we talk a lot and we're concerned, but I'll tell you, the first and foremost, we need to be on our knees before God in this really, really desperate hour we're in.
Absolutely. And we do need to pray for our leaders, you know, our political leaders, our spiritual leaders. 1 Timothy, I was thinking of this as you were praying, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to this. He says in verse 1 and 2, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Amen. Yeah,
that's a strong statement, isn't it?
This is the time for all good men to come to their senses, and you know, for Christian men and women to, you know, forsake everything but the assembling of ourselves together.
Exactly.
And to seek God with all of our heart in, you know, in repentance and in fasting.
Mm-hmm. And prayer. Let me give you another passage on prayer here too before you go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I preached on this actually this morning at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the first two verses. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith.
Absolutely.
We need prayer, don't we?
No, absolutely. Praise our gracious God. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Tom, and I appreciate that prayer. And stay safe out there.
Have a good night. Be blessed.
Thank you. God bless. Appreciate that. Thank you. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our toll-free number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting as well. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Really enjoying the program so far.
Thank you.
I can't remember the name of that lady.
Ruth. Earlier?
You know, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, she you covered a really good, and you know, she asked questions about forgiveness.
Well, that was a difficult one, really, when you think about it. That wasn't an easy one to deal with.
Yeah, you did a great job, as usual. Well, I know you don't want to be proud, but but doesn't the Bible say that you can receive praise from others, but you're not supposed to praise yourself? You're supposed, you know.
Well, you know, I was thinking of the guy that Jesus talked about when he went to the feast, you know, and he said, don't go up and sit in the chief tables. He says, sit in the lower tables, because if you sit at the chief tables, I know I'm paraphrasing here. He said, if you sit at the chief table, the host might come and say, hey, what are you doing here? This is reserved for somebody else, and they put you down in front of everybody to one of the lower tables, and then you're kind of humiliated. He says, sit at the lower table. If the host wants you at the upper table, he'll come and bring you up there, and you will be essentially lifted up and glorified in front of everybody, not doing it yourself, but somebody else is going to call attention rather than yourself. Mm-hmm. So it is better that way.
Yes, amen. Pastor Andy was asking the congregation, how many of you heard that excellent program on Friday, you know, with hosted by Pastor Al and myself and Pastor John Lutz with, you know, many guests, Gene Piazza, Gary Meeks, Ernie Sanders, Alan Jenkins, Mark Goslin, Kevin Isaacs.
Kevin Isaacs. He's the station manager here.
And then he said at the end, you thanked everybody, but Pastor Andy said you didn't thank yourself, and you did such a wonderful job coordinating the whole thing, and, you know, you deserve thanks. So Pastor Andy wanted somebody to call in.
Well, I appreciate that.
You for a great job that you did, because, you know, that was hard to, you know, have all these pastors calling in and then, you know, giving everybody a good, you know, equal time. Now, my question tonight.
Oh, real quick for your question, I want to let people know the program that you're talking about, of course, was a special radio tribute to Bruce Musselman, who many of our listeners are familiar with, a longtime host of Where Is God's Word, which is still being heard on this station, AM 1220, The Word, every Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're playing vintage programs, and for the foreseeable future, we hope to keep him on the air. And that tribute program, he went to be with the Lord on May 15th. That tribute program is available on our website at livewithpastoral.com. So just wanted to get that out while we're on the subject there.
Yes, amen. Yeah, I just, you know, not everybody was familiar with that, so I'm glad you brought that up. My question tonight was about hydroxychloroquine. Dr. Fauci, which a lot of us know, or we assume, we think, that he's connected with Bill Gates and the World Health Organization, and he it's for his interest not to promote hydroxychloroquine because he wants to come up with a new medicine that's going to be, you know, profit, you know, all the like big pharma and everything. But it's so there's so much evidence all around the world by all these doctors that say that this is the treatment of choice, you know, and it's been very successful. And from my understanding, hydroxychloroquine, the so-called accurate studies that they've made, that they gave to make it look bad or not effective because they want to come up with an expensive medicine, where hydroxychloroquine for, you know, COVID-19 is only like $10 or $15 for a you know,
yeah, it's relatively inexpensive, yeah, and fairly common.
So isn't it pretty obvious that Dr. Fauci, when he's saying negative things about hydroxychloroquine, that he just he wants to profit financially from other medicines? I mean, to me, it's so obvious, but maybe not to other people. What do you think?
Well, you know, I look at it, and there is so much evidence that shows that the hydroxychloroquine, and it's not generally just that alone. There's a zinc supplement generally and vitamin C at the same time. And part of what it does is the zinc and the hydroxychloroquine in particular interfere with the virus's ability to latch onto the cell and cell membrane so that it can inject its genetic material into the cell and infect the cell. And the studies are flawed in that, for instance, the famous VA study, they gave horrendous doses of hydroxychloroquine, far more. I think it was, I don't even want to get into the numbers. It was just far greater than what anybody would ever take. Plus, they didn't give the vitamin C, they didn't give the zinc. And they gave it to people who were in very poor health to begin with and with advanced cases of COVID-19. Now, the hydroxychloroquine treatment with the zinc and the vitamin C is being used by many people highly successfully, and it is being used in a preventative sense. People who are exposed to, perhaps to people with the coronavirus or potentially exposed have been put on it for a time. It's not something you go on for the rest of your life, though there are people with rheumatoid arthritis, people with lupus and some other situations where they've been taking hydroxychloroquine for many years, and it's under a doctor's supervision. You just don't go to the store, buy some fish cleaner and down it. And then that's a whole suspect thing too, because it appears that the wife actually poisoned her husband in that infamous case. And it wasn't even the hydroxychloroquine. It was a related product, but a related chemical, but not the same. Just like there's two types of alcohol. One is rubbing alcohol that'll kill you quickly. The other is the drinking alcohol that just kills you slowly. But but with the hydroxychloroquine treatment, this is something that can be given to people with exposure. Remember, the president took it himself. There were the number of people on the White House staff that there was several people that tested positive, and he was taking the treatment, and he dropped it during one of his press conferences that he was taking the hydroxychloroquine treatment, and they were just aghast. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is terrible. Yeah, I guess it was terrible because they know privately that it works, and they didn't want him to get healthy. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to get sick and die. Unfortunately, there are people like that. And so then when he stopped taking it, some people tried to say he was shamed into stopping it, but he stopped taking it because the course of treatment was done. And there's doctors in Europe, there's doctors in Israel and in India and places who have tremendous success with it. Doctors in the United States with tremendous success. And and at what point, even if it's only anecdotal success, when so many people say that I started taking it and within hours I felt better.
Yes, I've heard that.
And within days, you know, maybe even in the hospital, and within a day or two home from the hospital. Sean Hannity had a guy on in Florida, I believe it was. He had reached the point, he was a relatively younger, healthier person, but he had reached the point where the doctor was basically saying, you know, get your affairs in order, and he begged his doctor to try the hydroxychloroquine treatment, and his doctor put him on it, and within hours he was turning around, and a day or two later he was home. Healthy.
Yes, I heard that. Yes.
And this is verified over and over. Well, it's interesting because the hydroxychloroquine, it comes from quinine, which was used to treat malaria. And the quinine, course, comes from a tree, a small shrubby tree that grows in certain parts of, I think, South America, and I think even parts of Spain or Portugal or something like that. And they derive this from the bark. And they were using it to treat,
malaria,
and long night, and trying to treat malaria. And they have found that in India, where you've got people living in really close conditions, you would think that the COVID-19 would have exploded across India, but they're one of the highest uses of hydroxychloroquine in India because of the dealing with malaria so much. And, there's also many reports where people have said people who are taking hydroxychloroquine that have lupus or rheumatoid arthritis have not been coming down with COVID-19. And so there's a wealth of information. If I were told that I had COVID-19, I would ask to be put on the treatment. I would have no hesitation whatsoever. It's been reported that some of our military has been put on it as a preventative measure. Remember that I think it was the Theodore Roosevelt, the aircraft carrier, where they had a problem with the coronavirus on the ship. Well, when they went back out to sea, they had treated everybody on the crew. There's reports, I believe it was, with the hydroxychloroquine treatment. And other places where they're doing this. So it seems to be something that's successful. But here's the thing, and I know we're running out of time quickly. If your goal is to promote a panic, you don't want to promote something that cures the disease that you're trying to promote and get everybody afraid and promote a panic with.
They're doing a great job.
People
are very gullible.
And I believe that there's a reason that they want to panic. I think there's a design in place. You know, the mask, the governor can say all he wants, wearing a mask is patriotic. When people see people in masks, they get afraid because they think something terrible's going on. And so it promotes fear. And all this stuff that's going contrary to the latest studies in science, and some of it's not even just the latest, it's stuff we've known since April, and yet they're ignoring it, and they're continuing everything and trying to make us afraid. They have a goal in mind, and I think globalism is that goal. Hey, Nancy, we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling,
I agree,
and
100%.
Thank you for everybody listening. God bless. Have
thank
a great
you.
Week.
Thank you.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.